And welcome to another episode of the 2 Minutes Dos Minutos podcast. If this is your first time here at our podcast, thank you so much for listening and welcome. My name is Michael Biamani. I am the longtime public address announcer of the Miami Heat. And on the 2 Minutes Dos Minutos podcast, I'm joined each and every time by two long friends of mine by the name of Alfredo Tejera, my co-host, and our producer, Brian Mendelson, who we affectionately refer to as Producer Brian.
So, that's right.
Alf, what do we have in store for our listeners today?
Michael, we have two amazing stories today. We have a live interview with the president of the Homestead Miami Speedway, Al Garcia. We had a chance to interview him, and we're going to put this in the podcast today. And not only that, but we have a special surprise for our listeners. An incredible story about you, Michael. It affects you. So our listeners better be paying attention because we had a great surprise for everyone today. The second big story?
Yes.
Al's road adventures. We'll be talking about that today as well, related to motor racing and motor, driving, if you will, in South Florida.
All right, so kind of an automotive theme to this podcast.
That's right.
Well,
Mike.
Let's get it started like we always do, Alfredo. We've got to talk about our local team here. We are a South Florida podcast. What's the latest on the Miami Dolphins?
You know, they're still in the running for the Tua Bowl that I call, they're going for the first pick of the NFL draft next season. They're still 0-0, 0-2, if you will. So I think, but I'm impressed by the fact that the players are really playing well and the coaches are coaching them. But of course, they just don't have the firepower to play against NFL teams. They just don't have a NFL caliber team yet. But they're doing the best they can. And by the way, good plans, good work, and they're doing a fantastic job of executing that plan.
They do have a direction. We know that direction is to do everything they can to get the first pick. And the way you get the first pick is to win the fewest number of games. So they've succeeded at that so far. And as we've talked about each and every week, the competition started out. There were a handful of teams that hadn't won a game. And we're at the point now where there's just one other now who is an 0-for team, and that's the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes, Mike. And I talked about the Tua Bowl. Well, guess what? The Tua Bowl will be on December 22nd when Cincinnati Bengals come to visit us here at the Hard Rock Stadium against the Miami Dolphins. So if they're still 0 and whatever it is, they'll be competing for Tua. How about that? The Tua Bowl.
That will be some kind of game. And I can only imagine the amount of media that would be covering that game. It would be more media than has ever covered two winless teams playing each other before. Producer Brian got a kick out of that.
Yeah, the best of the worst, if you will. This is going to be an amazing media event for us. And by the way, it means a lot, though. If you win, you lose, right?
That's right. We've always said a win is a loss is a win, and there's a couple other teams that are chasing Miami right now, but you'll never catch them if they keep losing at this rate.
That's right, Mike, and I'm hoping that Miami will continue to lose. I know it's kind of an awkward statement because we're rooting against a team we've always rooted for. So this is kind of a strange situation this year, but we have to do it that way.
Well, we'll keep you posted on each and every podcast, as we've been doing, on how the Dolphins go about taking care of their business, which is, at this point, putting their plan to execution perfectly. So when we come back, we sit down with Al Garcia, the president of the Homestead Miami Speedway, and you're listening to the 2 Minutes Dos Minutos podcast. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Hey, Mike, everybody wants to know, who powers your website?
Well, Alfredo, thanks for asking. It is ZeusTechDev.com. ZeusTech is who I trust my website with, voiceofmiami.com. We're here at the ZeusTech Studios for our 2 Minutes Dos Minutos podcast, and producer Brian is the principal at ZeusTech. Make sure you check him out at ZeusTechDev.com. Tell him the 2 Minutes Dos Minutos podcast guys sent you to him. Joining us now is Al Garcia, the president of the Homestead Miami Speedway. And Al, welcome to the 2 Minutes Dos Minutos podcast. It's great to have you.
Well, thank you for inviting me to participate in your podcast, Michael. I've been a big fan of your work and of the Miami Heat for many, many years. And it's an honor to be included in Dos Minutos.
Well, thank you for that. And Al, you're a South Florida guy. spent your life here in South Florida and learned about auto racing from the man who many of us credit with bringing auto racing to South Florida, Ralph Sanchez. And I know you've been a part of this Speedway for going on 25 years now. And back in June, to be named the president of the Homestead Miami Speedway had to be a dream come true.
Absolutely. I can't put into words what it means to me. It's really the culmination of a lifelong passion. You know, when we were young kids, my dad's job took us to Europe. And as you know, in Europe, there's two sports, right? We were big Miami Dolphins fans because it was the early 70s. And all of a sudden, we get shipped off to live in Madrid in Spain. And in Europe, they have two things. They have soccer and they have auto racing.
Right.
So that's where I got the bug. And I really started getting interested in auto racing when I was probably 10, 11 years old. And so we moved back to Miami and I raced go-karts and was involved in racing pretty much my whole life since I was 10, 11, 12 years old. And then in the early 80s, Ralph Sanchez gave me an opportunity to join his team. And his company at the time was Miami Motorsports. And we promoted the Grand Prix of Miami on Biscayne Boulevard, right across the street from the Freedom Tower. And people may remember, we also did four IndyCar races at Tamiami Park before FIU is what it is today.
Okay.
It was a sleepy little campus. And we used to do an IndyCar race there, I think, from 85 through 90. So, and then in 95, we opened Homestead Miami Speedway. And I'm really, really proud to say that I'm the only member of the original team that opened the doors here in 95 to still be here.
Wow, that's amazing. Joined by Al Garcia, the president of the Homestead Miami Speedway. Al, as you just said, led us into our very next question. You've been here from the beginning. Take our listeners on kind of a historical lap of the Homestead Miami Speedway over these past 25 years.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey. I got to tell you, it's hard because, as you know, we're in a fast-paced environment in society today and life today. You're just looking forward and you don't look back, you know, right? When you're steering the ship, you got to see where you're going or where you want to go. You can't spend much time looking back. But at times I do sit back and reflect, and we opened our doors here in the fall of 1995 in November. And at the time, it was a Busch Series race, which is NASCAR's second-tier series, and we sold it out. And it was a huge boon, you know. And I kind of divided it into two buckets because it's the auto racing and what it means to the industry. But more importantly, this track was a result of Hurricane Andrew. The city of Homestead, as you recall, was devastated on August 24th, 1992.
Right.
In August of 93, we broke ground. And in 95, we opened our doors. And the impetus for building the Speedway was to help this this part of the community, South Dade, that was devastated, to rebuild and rebirth. So it was kind of a phoenix rising out of the ashes. And, you know, it's the epitome of a public-private partnership where it's creating jobs, we're creating economic impact. We take the role of being corporate citizens very, very seriously and the effect that we have on our community. So that's the reason why the track is here. But really, the more fun part of it is that we get to entertain people. You know, there was a promoter that one time told me, you know what, we're putting Technicolor in the black and white lives of a lot of the people that come out to the track. So for one day, they get to see jets flying by with the flyby and the cars and the stars and the drivers. And you know, it's risky and it's dangerous and some of the crashes are spectacular. But we then hosted the season opener for IndyCar in March of 96. And for many years, we were the first race of the season for IndyCar. So what was particularly rewarding was to see these rookies that their first start ever in IndyCars were here at this track. So guys like Dario Franchitti, four-time IndyCar champion.
Sure.
Elio Castroneves, three-time Indy 500 winner. Tony Kanaan. A lot of the Miami-based people in particular, the first time they sat and competed in an IndyCar was here at Homestead Miami Speedway.
Wow.
Then we transitioned, and NASCAR used to finish their season in Atlanta. And so we had the second to the last race, and they'd all fly off the night after the race and get to Atlanta to finish the season. Well, with weather, and I mean, it was not a hard sell to convince NASCAR that the best place to finish the season the weekend before Thanksgiving was right here in South Florida.
I bet not. Yeah, exactly.
So then 18 years ago, we were awarded tasked with the responsibility and awarded the honor to crown all three of NASCAR's touring division champions on one weekend at one venue. So it's essentially like you have the World Series for AAA baseball, then the next day Saturday AA, and then Sunday the major leagues. So we do the NASCAR Gander Outdoor Series on Friday night at 8 p.m. Then the Xfinity Series champion is on Saturday. And then the big enchilada, if you will, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series finishes their season and crowns their champion on Sunday. So it's a culmination of a fantastic weekend and a series of events. And we started that with our partners, Ford Motor Company, as the title sponsor of Ford Championship Weekend 18 years ago. So it's unprecedented, and to have any major sport, which NASCAR is arguably the highest form of motorsports in the world, certainly in North America, to finish their season at the same venue and crown a champion at the same venue 18 years running is unprecedented.
Al, you and I had a chance to meet a few weeks ago, and the one thing that really struck me was your vision for the Homestead Miami Speedway in our South Florida community. That seems to be really, really important to you. Talk about that for a minute, if you would.
You're absolutely correct. Our vision, and I share our vision here, and hopefully certainly the rest of our team members here embrace and share the vision, that we take it as a very serious and a responsibility to be good corporate citizens, as I touched on earlier, but to be a source of pride, to be a rally point, to be a crown jewel in South Florida. I mean, what Garfinkel and his team and Stephen Ross have done up at Dolphin Stadium is amazing. You know, the Marlins built their facility, and it goes without saying that the Miami Heat are pretty much dominate this market. But, you know, we feel that Major League Auto Racing, and in particular this venue, and the good work that all the people that are employed here do in the community with events. And, you know, like most of these large venues, we're pivoting. Obviously, our core is auto racing, and we're all racers down to our core, but we're doing more lifestyle events. We're doing a bubble run now in December. We're doing triathlons. We're looking at different musical events and concerts, and we want to be a resource for South Dade and for Miami-Dade County. You know, our NASCAR races are regional events and have regional impacts. We have fans and race teams that stay as far north as South Broward and as far south as Isla Mirada. Homestead is a wonderful community, and most of the impact stays in Homestead, but they're limited. You know, I think my predecessor used to describe it as trying to drink from a fire hose. There's just so much economic impact and so many things going on that Homestead can capture their part, but they certainly cannot capture all of it. We affect and we touch lives and businesses and restaurants and have a positive impact on the region, not just in South Dade.
Al, I understand there's a major surprise announcement you'd like to make related to the race.
We're always looking to improve the product and how we entertain our fans. It's really near and dear to my heart. You know, our Senior Director of Communications Marketing, Mr. Neil Gulk, has brought me this idea a few months ago. And I was kind of floored, because the announcement you're talking about is that Mr. Michael Biamonte has agreed to serve as our Master of Ceremonies and will be introducing the drivers, in particular, the final four that qualify for a shot at the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series on Sunday, November the 17th. So we're honored, and we're very grateful and excited to have you on board.
All right.
Well, thank you. Nice. All right. Thank you so much, Al, and to you and your team and your staff. I can't wait. I am really excited to do it. It's a new venture for me, but introducing people and making it very enthusiastic is not new to me. So I can't wait, and I can't say thank you enough. I'm just really excited for the 17th of November to get here and introduce those drivers in that championship race.
Well, it's going to be – so now you know one, right? We've got Martin Truex for sure. And from there, we'll see. You know, this year it's really exciting, and the mix of drivers that are still eligible is really exciting and kind of unusual. Right, so the first three that I'm going to put in this category is the rookies, the young guns, right? They're not necessarily rookies, but they've never won championships. They've never been in the Final Four. And that's Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney, and Kyle Larson. And those three are the future. They're the next generation. They've won races. They're always at the front of the field, but they have not won a championship. The next pack are folks that are veterans that have won a lot of races and won championships. And in that group, there's four. There's Martin Truex, Joey Logano, Harvick, and Kyle Busch. And then really the interesting one is Hamlin, because he's probably the best driver to never have won a championship based on his two Daytona 500 wins, based on his body of work, right? And then for the fans that follow the manufacturers, the way it stacks up is we have three Toyotas with Denny Hamlin and Kyle Busch and Martin Truex. And then there's three Fords, which is Ryan Blaney and Kevin Harvick. and Joey Logano. And then there's two Chevrolets with Chase Elliott and with Kyle Larson. So we'll see.
Al, this is a beautiful facility for racing, and you have a lot of events going on. If I want to buy tickets, what are the interesting tickets available for our fans out there that want to attend?
Well, we have something for everybody. We have all-inclusive hospitality, top-shelf liquor service, an open bar and food, and that's a three-day ticket, and those are available, and those are $600-$700 for the weekend, which is really good value, particularly if you like to consume a lot of stone crab and top-shelf liquor and that kind of thing. And down to we have entry-level tickets that are pretty affordable. We have a family four-pack that's around $220, so that would be the first time a family of four can come out and enjoy a championship race for the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, and anywhere in between. The best place is to go to our website, which is homesteadmiamispeedway.com, or the number is 866-409-RACE.
I've got to ask you about this Melon Man package. Tell me about this Melon Man package.
The Melon Man package, Ross Chastain, you know, is a really interesting story. He kind of started making noise 2 years ago. Last year, he really solidified himself as a true bona fide contender in the lower series. So he's in the truck series. This year, he has wins in the Xfinity series. But, you know, it's a great story. This guy is a blue-collar guy. His family are watermelon farmers on the West Coast in the Tampa, Bradenton area, Fort Myers on the West Coast. And, you know, the community of watermelon farmers got behind him. And so there's a co-op and they sell watermelons. That's how, you know, he was able to get a start and they bought rides for him. But now that he's won races, now he's got teams that are actually paying him to drive and taking the next step. So with the Ross Chastain package, you get a ticket and you get a 30-minute meet and greet with Ross on Sunday, and you get a Ross Chastain Watermelon Man hat. So
sign me up.
There you go.
Joined again by Al Garcia, the president of the Homestead Miami Speedway. Al, we'll get you out of here on this. Our listeners are going to want to know your preferences on a couple of things. So I'm going to throw a couple of things out to you. Tell me what you prefer, all right?
Yep.
Hardtop or convertible?
Convertible.
Okay. Gasoline or electric?
Gasoline.
Automatic or stick shift?
Stick shift.
Two-door or four-door?
Two-door.
All right, we'll get you out on this last one. Which is safer, Miami rush hour traffic or Homestead Motor Speedway NASCAR traffic?
Homestead Miami Speedway motor racing traffic. 95, they call it tailgating. Here, we call it bump drafting.
Well, Al, thank you so much for joining us today.
One last thing, Al. We have a surprise for you. You've been a great guest. So Michael has a little special surprise for you, like if you were playing for the Miami Heat.
And now, stand up and make some noise for the president of the Homestead Miami Speedway, Al Garcia.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Al. It's a pleasure having you on the podcast.
Thank you.
Mike, that was an amazing interview with Al Garcia. And by the way, you deserve, you know, that particular, you know, announcement job. There's no one better in South Florida. How do you feel about it, Mike?
Well, thank you, Alfredo. I am really, really excited about it. When I got a call from the marketing department over at the Speedway, Neil Gulkis and Nora Abrigo, and they pitched this idea to me, I was just extremely flattered. I've never been involved with anything with NASCAR, but boy, NASCAR sure is big in this country.
It is.
And to be able to introduce the racers and the championship four racers, one of which is going to win the NASCAR Cup this year, the Championship Cup, is just such an exciting opportunity for me. I can't wait to be a part of it.
I can't wait either. And by the way, speaking of vehicles and cars and driving, it kind of reminds me of a story that I just recently read at news.sky.com.
Okay.
And it's really amazing because I think even though it's in the UK, it kind of applies here in South Florida. There's a guy that went to drive himself to the driver's test, you know, center. So
okay.
In the UK, they have, you know, driving tests, you know, just, you know. And
just like we do. You go and you take the driver's test, you get your license.
But
he drove himself there.
He drove himself. He doesn't have a driver's license. I'm not going to go into a little bit more. I'm going to tell you just what is really interesting about this story.
Okay.
Number one, he went there. He drove himself. Doesn't have a driver's license. and he failed the test. But the part I haven't told you is that this is the 10th time he has failed the test.
No way.
Yeah, 10th time.
10 times he's failed the driving test.
Yes.
And he's still driving himself to the test every time.
Yes, and it's more to this, Mike.
I can't wait.
He's arrested. You want to know why he's arrested?
I guess for not having a driver's license.
No, he stole that car that he drove himself to the driver's test that he failed for the 10th time. Is that an amazing story or what?
That is some kind of story, Alfredo.
Now, even though it's in the UK, doesn't that sound like South Florida?
You know, some of these people driving around in South Florida, I would say they failed the driving test 10 times.
You know what? That leads right into my Al's adventure, road adventures. Are you ready for that?
Al's road adventures. Producer Brian, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Oh my.
All right, let's hear about Al's road adventures.
Oh my. Well, Mike, let's start with the first thing that was on July 1st of 2019 this year. A law passed, no texting while driving. That was outstanding.
Smart.
Yeah,
safe.
Smart. Right.
Absolutely.
But there's a side effect. There's an impact to that. And it's impacting me while I'm driving around. You know, I'm not driving during rush hours. I'm not going on a highway. And guess what that is, Mike?
I can't imagine. I would think the roads are safer now.
So maybe.
You should be happier.
Maybe, but they're more annoying and more frustrating to me. And that is, while people, I don't know if you know, but the law says it's while you're texting and driving, not while you're stationary.
All right, let me make sure I understand this. So the Florida law says while you're driving, you cannot be texting. But if your car is stopped, red light, stop sign, whatever.
That's right.
At that point, you can go ahead and text.
That's correct.
Is that correct?
Okay. That's correct. So what's happening now is that people are texting, talking, and doing everything while there's a red light.
Okay.
And then when that red light turns green, they're not paying attention. They're not moving forward. So not only are they not moving forward to the green light, I have to honk my horn just about every day.
Okay.
And then that's
You're the one that honks your damn horn.
I'm the one that's honking the horn. And then what happens, by the time they get to the light, it's turning yellow and it turns red for me. Now I got to stop for another light. And that's what's happening. That's really annoying me.
That sounds like an annoyance. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
It gives you time to text your wife and kids.
No. I mean, we shouldn't be doing that, but that's actually happening. And Mike, are you experiencing some of that?
You know, now that you mention it, I have noticed that when the light changes, traffic's not moving right away. And now I think we've got it figured out as to why. That's clearly an Alf road adventure there.
Well, let me give you another one that really bothers me.
Oh, there's more. Okay.
Here's the one I really don't like. People that turn left forever. I mean, they turn around left around the world. I mean, they turn on their left turn signal, but they don't turn left. They just continue forward. What's going on with that, Mike?
I don't know what's going on with that.
I mean, I literally follow a guy like 5 miles and he continued going forward. Like,
and you're just waiting for him to turn left.
Like, their car cannot turn left for some reason. I don't know why. I mean, just turn left. I just finally gave up and turned right. You know, just for the heck of it. And here's another one that bothers me, Mike.
There's another one, Producer Brian.
Yeah. Here's the one that really bothers me. All the messages on the back of the car for me to read. Why are people giving me messages? Well, I don't even know these people. Why do they want to know baby on board? Why do I want to know if the baby's on board? What is that going to do to me? I mean, what are they trying to tell me? What difference does it make if it's a baby on board? Do they want me to go next to the car and say, lower my window, say, hey, how's the baby? You know, how tall is he? Can I check him out? I mean, you know, really.
What if we had one, the Dos Men podcast? You know,
yeah.
Listeners
well, then I could listen to that. Yeah.
But
baby on board. You know, it may be insulting, though. Maybe they've been telling us that there's a baby on board, so you have to be careful driving around me because I have a baby. Is that what is happening? Is that the message that I'm getting?
Interesting. I hadn't thought of it like that, and I don't even know where that baby
on board. I drive carefully regardless whether there's a baby on board or not.
I think it's more so that they want you to be extra cautious and letting you know that, hey, you know, there is a baby on board.
So you are telling me I'm normally driving real bad
there are some that might, you know, take notice and say, you know, hey, there's a baby on board. Let me not honk my horn. Let me not hit the back of the car.
Oh, well, you know.
Because otherwise you would just go hit the back of the car.
Oh, right? Yeah. Like baby on board. Like, you know,
yeah,
really,
I'm
really.
Back of my car. I don't have a sticker. Maybe that's the problem.
Well, baby on board still goes on. I mean, how many years has that sticker been around? I mean, I'm sick and tired of it.
There's still babies.
Are there any other stickers?
Oh, yeah. Or
things
then that, there's that, little stickers that have the whole entire family, like, you know, an adult male, female, a dog.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
What do I care about that?
I get those. I thought they were kind of cute.
Well, don't drive around Alfredo if you get them.
But
I
don't care about it. The only people that care are the criminals. I say, oh, wait a minute, I have a chance. There's only a single lady and a child and no dog, so let me go to the house. They're not in, you know.
Maybe you actually have a very valid point.
Yeah, so you got baby on board, the family stickers, and my favorite that everybody, I think, I never done it.
What's that?
My kid is an honor roll student at a certain school.
Yeah.
Like, really? Like, do I really care if you're, you know, unless you're my friend. Yeah, I mean, you know, but what happens if you have two kids, only one honor student? You know, what? How does the other kid feel? Maybe he
feels
bad. Yeah. Like, hey, I thought you had two kids. You only have one kid in honor, and an honor student. What's going on? And then here's the new one, Mike.
Oh, boy.
There's a new one.
New one.
And these are, I don't know, these are new drivers. But when you turn left, there's a left turn signal, and then it turns green, right? I'm not talking about all the roads, but just a traffic light that just turns green. And there's no opposite traffic coming, and they won't turn left. It's a new, I guess, a new teaching method of getting a driver's license. They just won't turn. There's a full football field of no cars, and I'm honking. Hey, what are you doing? Oh, well, you know, I can't turn left. I'm, what do you mean?
Maybe it's the Dolphins driving.
So, yes, the Dolphins, yeah. Oh, my God. But anyway, Mike, those are my big things about my road adventures, man. They're driving me nuts. Well, what do I do here? I'm going crazy here.
Yeah, you're going to have to stop driving, Alf. I mean, yeah. I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, well.
Stop driving. Uber everywhere.
Give my money. Yeah, Uber. Yeah, give my money to Uber so they can do the same thing.
Uber right? Everywhere.
But anyway, Mike, those are my road adventures for today.
Well, that's awesome. And we want to thank everybody again for listening to this edition of the 2 Minutes Dos Minutos podcast. And again, I am thrilled to be a part of the NASCAR Championship coming up November 17th. But as happy and excited as I am about that, I am really honored that these two guys, producer Brian and our co-host Alf, are going to be with me every step of the way. They're going to join me at the championship race, and we're going to go through and experience this together. We're going to come back and do another podcast and tell everybody and our listeners all about it. So keep listening, and thank you so much for taking the time. Once again, this is the 2 Minutes Dos Minutos podcast. Thanks for listening.